I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Monday on Purpose Talk Radio. This is Jan Revelle, your host, and I hope I am live. Yes, I did unmute my microphone. I tend to make that mistake every now and then, like I did last week. So I'm glad that I'm on top of it this week. How's that? Okay, let's take care of all of the necessary housekeeping stuff. First of all, Purpose Talk Radio is brought to you, well, the theme song for Purpose Talk Radio, which is I Am Who I Am, is brought to you by True Trinity, and you can find them at truetrinity.com, where you can actually purchase the song. It's only $1, you know, but it's a fabulous song. I mean, I dance around to it all the time. I have it. And then I play it every now and then, whether it's Monday or not, and just because I love the whole concept of being who I am, walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny, and it reminds me to do exactly that. So I hope you'll go over to TrueTrinity.com, say hello to them, and buy their song. That group is Cindy Freeman, who is our wonderful facilitator for this program, and Jillian Clark, who's the voice you hear, and Rachel Martinez, who is one of the musical components of the group. I wanted to say something about that, and I don't remember what it was. In any case, we hope you'll go to Facebook, to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook, and join on Facebook. Cindy's over there, and she is monitoring the conversations. All you have to do is ask to join the group, and she'll get you in there, and then you can take part in it. I guess I'm reading something from before, so never mind. I won't even go there anymore. I drew one card for today for the show, and then I drew three extra cards. So if you have a question or concern that you would like me to read an oracle card for you, then you can either call in, and that number is 347-205-9074. I'll repeat it, 347-205-9074, or you can connect via Skype, or if you're in the conversations group and you don't want to call in, you can type your question there with the card that you want, and Cindy will relay that to me. Those cards will take place following the interview with Lynn. We have a special guest with us today, Lynn McKenzie, and Lynn has several things going on. She is a pretty amazing person, and we'll talk about her in just a moment. Looks like I'm trying to get two computers going at the same time, so I keep grabbing the wrong mouse to find the information. But that's all right. Our conversation with Lynn today is going to be about money, and it's going to be about the top five. Now, see, I have to find it. Well, anyway, we'll find out from her what the topic is, because you've already seen it on the page if you've been there. Anyway, here we go. So the card that I have for today's show, and remember, every time I think about the card to choose it, I think about the show. And this is the top five money manifestation secrets of divinely connected women. And thank you, Cindy. I appreciate you sending me that. So now I know what I'm talking about here. So the top five money manifestation secrets of divinely connected women. And I was thinking about that on when I drew a card and what that was going to be. And it's a very interesting card here. I thought it was quite appropriate. It's called the Circle of Life. The Circle of Life. And in a way, it kind of looks like a sad card, but it is the Circle of Life. And the Circle of Life has sadness as well as joy in it. And I don't believe that this card really is sad. So let's talk about it. It shows a woman who is sleeping. Her hair is kind of unkempt. The robe that she has on is sort of a faded, well, it was red at one time. Now it's kind of a gray red. And the scarf that's around her head is also a red, a brighter red. So there's still obviously a lot going on in her mind, but not necessarily so much in her body. She's sitting in an alcove, so there's an arch above her. There's an arched window behind her. And the chair on which she sits is also a curve going in the other direction. So in a way, it looks like she's sitting in the shapes around her create an egg shape. On either side of the, either arm of the chair in which she's sitting, there are there's a castle. And underneath that, there is a very large crystal. And that's on each arm. So there are two crystals, and there are two castle scenes. The woman is sleeping. Is she dead, or is she dreaming? And what is the difference? What is the difference in our lives between life and death, between dreaming and being awake, during the day awake? What is the difference in our life between being spiritually awake and spiritually asleep? There's not much difference in reality. The differences are in our own perception. We perceive everything in our lives from our own experiences and from our own backgrounds. And sometimes I remember growing up in a very fundamental Christian background, and I was taught that there was a difference between life and death. And I was taught that this life has to be kind of miserable in order to have a happy afterlife. And it wasn't until I became an adult that I realized that this life can be just as happy as a quote-unquote afterlife. That this life is as much the dream as death is the dream. When we're in spirit form, we don't have physical bodies. When we're having a human experience, the only difference is that we have a physical body. Well, that's not the only difference. The other differences are the limitations that we feel as humans. And many of us feel those pretty strongly. And I was brought up to feel those limitations. I'm sure a lot of you who are listening were brought up to feel those same limitations of lack, of not enough, of poverty, of inferior complex, of all those things that we think of when we're not divinely connected. And even when we awaken into our spiritual form, even when we come to life and we say, wow, I am so much more than this physical body, we often forget and we go back into that place of lack or not enough. We go into that place of feeling depressed, of feeling like we're not good enough or we're not worthy. And we manifest that. It doesn't take very long. And you know what's interesting is that the more spiritually awake you become, the faster those manifestations happen. They happen amazingly fast. I think I told you last week I had a situation where I started feeling really down and depressed, and it took 3 days for it to manifest. 3 days! Oh my gosh, I was stunned. I thought, how can this possibly be that it only takes 3 days? And then I realized, Jan, if it only takes 3 days to manifest lack, then it only takes 3 days to manifest enough and more than enough. It's all in what we put out there and what we're bringing back. And I'm going to bring Lynn in now because I know she's got something to contribute to this particular portion of the conversation. So Lynn, hi, how are you?
I'm great, Jan. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. And I imagine you have something to say about this card that I drew today.
Yeah, it's how appropriate that you would draw something about that. That, you know, what I want to say is that, you know, I truly believe that we can manifest almost anything instantaneously right now. I really believe it. And again, we are always manifesting, whether it's for what we want or for what we don't want. You know, I had a interesting, I posted an interesting quote on my Facebook today. It just happened to be the Abraham card of the day. And I'm just pulling it right back up again because I think it's so appropriate even for this topic. And it came into my experience. Whatever you're thinking about is literally planning a future event. When you're worrying, you are planning. When you're appreciating, you are planning. What are you planning?
It's pretty
consistent with this. So, you know, I loved your analogy with the lack and with the enough. You know, that was amazing.
Well, thank you. Okay, so let's, seeing as how we've got you online here now, let's just go ahead and jump right into it.
Okay.
I'd like you, if you would, to tell us a little bit about who you are. I know you do multiple things.
Yes.
So let's go back to who are you and how did you find out what your passions are and how you've then manifested them.
Yeah, that's a good place to start. You know, I think what happened was I was really born manifesting, which is kind of unusual, or maybe, you know, wasn't so happy. My parents weren't so happy about it because I was, you know, I had a mind of my own and I was going, well, I want this, so I'm going to get it. And I manifested, you know, they didn't want to have a dog, but I wanted a dog very badly because I've always been an animal person. And I managed to manifest a dog. Took me till grade 4, but I got one. And manifested a bunch of things at a very young age. I remember even in second grade, I manifested getting my ears pierced against their will. They even took me somewhere to get me checked out because, like, you know, psychologically, because I was so adamant this was going to happen. I don't know why. I mean, just because my friend got her ears pierced. But they weren't of the belief that young children should have their ears pierced, you know. So, but, I mean, they were like, okay, something's wrong with this girl. But really, they just finally went, okay, let's get her ears pierced because it's going to happen one way or the other. We may as well just give in. So they didn't know what they were in for when they had me. I was always manifesting. Always, always, always. I wanted a horse. I manifested a horse for myself when I was 15. And again, you know, I had to board the horse out somewhere, and horses are very costly, as you know. I mean, they seem more costly now, but relatively speaking, they were pretty costly back then. It was just all the money was slightly on a different scale at that point in time, or all the values. So whatever I got a lot of enthusiasm from, or whatever I felt a lot of enthusiasm for, I should say, I just started really following that because I truly believe that is spirit's path for us. And so I started following my different passions. And what I ended up kind of finding out was that it's a little bit different when you start getting into career. It takes a little bit of a different kind of energy and et cetera to create a really great thriving, prosperous business for yourself sometimes than it does to create a position like that where you're employed by somebody else. And the difference is really about your self-worth. It's easy to maybe believe that whatever else you're selling or promoting that somebody else's passion is worthwhile, but it's a different set of energy and principles and systems to really believe that what you're offering is valuable and has, you know, great value. So I've just sort of been studying this lifelong, and I've been a healer and an intuitive, you know, for years and years, and taking so much training. And what I noticed was that I found that, you know, a lot of people, number one, aren't necessarily completely honest with themselves about what they desire. And when I say not completely honest, that is, you know, going really to the root of it, because some people think they might be, or they're scared to really go for what they really desire. But I truly feel like my mission is to help people take what it is that they really desire, that they're so passionate about, that they know is their soul's divine mission. And you know, that's really just the creative expression of who you are. We're all designed to make a living from the creative expression of who we are. There are some processes that we have to go through sometimes, we have to make sure that there's a lot of accountability, responsibility, being in alignment. There's a lot of that, being in integrity, being very intentional. We can't just sit back and go, yeah, I'm an artist and I want to, make a living from my art. You've got to actually take the bull by the horns, so to speak, or the broom by the handle, and step up and do what needs to be done. But I really believe that we're all here and to make a really prosperous living from what it is that we love to do. And if I can do it, as an animal intuitive, which was my first major business, which I turned into a six-figure business in a recession. So if I can turn a business as an animal intuitive, which wasn't even very widely even known or accepted when I began, I actually coined the phrase animal intuitive. And I mean, if you search Google now, there's probably 3 or 4 million people using that term.
Right.
There was no one even using it back then when I started it. But I actually created this amazing business. That is not a necessity. So no matter what it is that anybody does, I truly believe that they can create, there is a way to create a really prosperous living for themselves doing what they love. And, that's really what I'm here to help people do, I believe.
Now, you say the key of it has to do with people not being honest with themselves.
Yeah, and I mean that. I don't mean that, I don't mean that in a way as they're being dishonest, but I truly feel that sometimes we, and me included, get a little wishy-washy about what it is that we want. We're not really truly clear. Or we kind of know what we want, but we don't want to truly admit it. Or, we're playing small or whatever it is that people might, there's all varieties of this, but not really stepping into who we truly are and having the courage to number one, admit what we want, and number two, stepping into it and taking action and creating that. And that, I mean, that involves a lot of self-mastery for sure. And I mean, it's not being dishonest like, they're lying. It's more like not being completely aligned with, correctly aligned or, with what it is that they want to create and then making it happen. Because truly, we can create anything we want. I know I can. And if I can, anybody can, because I don't have any special superhuman powers.
So far, good. is this finding out or the core of what you really want, is this part of what you teach in your course?
I have various levels that I work with people on, and absolutely, it's part, I certainly get into it, and it depends on what level people are working with me at and how deep we dig into it, because there's various different levels. But it is something that I make sure I give people the tools to get clear on it. I really give them the tools to be able to get clear on a lot of the principles and practices to get clear on what it is they want. And it's not a one-shot deal, I was an animal intuitive, I was a business coach, and now I just specifically focus on manifestation and psychic mastery. That's really what I focus on, because I believe the two kind of go hand in hand and are kind of tied together. So I really truly believe that is my current mission. It's not that it might morph as time goes on, but it's kind of like the way I like to say it to my clients is, it's easier to turn right or left when you're already moving in a car. It's kind of like that with our missions. We can't just sit there and hope the perfect one is going to fall into place. I've had people say to me, oh, 10 years ago I knew this is what I should do, and I didn't do it, and it's too late now. And, it's not too late now. The world is, every day is a new day, and everything is being recreated on a daily basis. So, you're never too late. to
never too late and never too old, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's good to hear. So tell me a little bit about, you've mentioned that the one thing that you notice when it comes to conscious, spiritually oriented women in prosperity.
Yes.
What
I
is that?
Okay. I want to mention one thing to Jen. There's a bit of cutting in and out on your phone, just so you know. I'm hearing a bit of cutting in and out. And I don't know if that everybody else is or it's just me, but there's a bit of, but I understood your question. So we'll pop right into that. What I've really noticed is, you know, and when I say conscious women, certainly we're not leaving the men out. There's a lot, but this, what I'm talking about involves the principles of the divine feminine. And there's many awakened men who are also very much connected to the divine feminine themselves. So if we're talking women and you're a highly, you know, connected, awakened man, you're part of this too. So what I found is there seems to be like a disconnect. It's like somehow we are trying to be connected to spirit. We're trying to walk our talk, do our work, do all of the things that we feel, live our lives in a very connected way. And yet, at the same time, it's like there's so many spiritually oriented, conscious women who are having a real struggle with prosperity. And one of the things that I really sort of like to really make sure people understand is that when you're struggling yourself regarding your, you know, if you're struggling, if you're trying to make your rent or have enough money for food or have enough money to pay for your dog to go to the vet or whatever you need, when you're struggling in that way, it really takes you down from the place of being connected to a more base place of struggling. And from that place, it's really tough to live your purpose, be connected. You're actually more like, it's more like instead of, soaring up with the angels into that kind of energy for your connection, you're like stuck in thick mud or something. So it's really important that if we are 100% connected, we will have everything we need at our disposal so that we can manifest our passion into this world, because each of us is like this really amazing snowflake. Very unique. No one can do what you do the way you do it. It's just impossible. That's how it is. And I think that's that pretty much sums it up, I guess.
So I'm hearing two things here so far, and I don't know if these are in your top five things, but one I've heard is getting clear on what it is you really want, and the other one here is getting super connected to spirit, to your spiritual being. Is
absolutely
that true?
Absolutely. It is. And, you know, these aren't part of my five secrets specifically, but all the concepts I'm talking about will kind of come into those. They all kind of dovetail together. So mm-hmm. being very clear is important, and being connected to spirit. But one of the things that is most important about all of that, that kind of is the overarching umbrella for all of it, is self-mastery. Because we can, a lot of times we think we're connected to spirit, and we've all been there, yet there's a part of us, the human side of us, which we all have. There's also our ego, which we all have, whether we, you know, some people say, oh, I don't, that person has too much ego. Well, everybody has an ego. And our ego is a part of our psyche, which is not removable, and it's to keep us safe. So sometimes our ego will just step in and go, wait a minute, you're getting way out of line here, or whatever you're doing, this change you want to make is way too scary, and it'll put all this stuff forth for us, and then we might think that's our intuition. Our intuition is telling us not to do this. So a little tip, you know, that I have for listeners is, when you feel a strong passion, a strong resonance, and you really know something's for you, if that you sense that and you start to take action on that, and then you run into some kind of obstacle, that is natural. That is a natural progression of our manifestation. It's not your intuition telling you not to move forward. And I see a lot of conscious, spiritually oriented women, people in general, to go, oh, I just got a really strong message that I'm not supposed to do this. But if you had that, you wouldn't have seen the opportunity for yourself prior to that if it wasn't right for you. And it's more like the ego that is kind of appearing. The ego, we can have our ego appear somewhat like our intuition for us. So we don't, and we definitely don't want to take that fear, that ego part of us that's trying to keep us safe, and that's going, wait a minute, you're stretching way out of your comfort zone. This is scary. I think it was better where you were before, and then stopping everything we're doing in our tracks because, oh my God, we got this intuitive hit that, no, we went in the wrong direction.
You know, that resonates for me, and I'm going to share that just quickly, is that I'm starting preparing a teleconference and a live event for medical advocates, people who want to become medical advocates. And medical advocacy is something that is totally a passion of mine, and I have the background to go with it. But the minute I started working on this, then all of a sudden I noticed that I had 23 tabs open on my computer, all of them having to do with supposedly things that had to happen somewhere along the line, before or during or, you know, in the process. And I realized that at some point I was starting to feel overwhelmed and saying, wow, maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to do. And then I began looking at the things that were blocking me and saying, now, wait a minute, is this something that really has to happen before I... And the answer was no. I didn't need to wait for that.
Absolutely.
I need to just take the steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to just share something with everybody about what you just said, because that is a perfect example of what I was talking about. When we take a leap... Because, for all of us, what we really want, what our soul's deepest desire and our heart's deepest desire is 99.999% of the time outside of our comfort zone. So if we could just sit there cozy in our jammies and not really take any extra efforts or risks or sort of movement, I'll call it, then what happens is we can't really experience what it is that we absolutely love and are passionate about. And I know you're passionate about this medical advocacy. But what's so interesting is whenever we step forth, we get two kinds of feedback. And immediately, and it's usually consonant and dissonant feedback. So we have some really great feedback, but it's mixed with some, oh my God, you might have someone getting mad at you or whatever. But that is not spirit telling you you're on the wrong path. And I know you know that. It's not spirit telling you you're on the wrong path. It's just, it's really what happens whenever we step out. Like I like to think of it as leaping from one cliff to kind of another cliff, and the other cliff is higher because we're doing something new. So it's not just a matter of continuing on with what we've always been doing, status quo. And to take that leap takes a lot of guts. And then there's a point in time where we're kind of suspended in midair. I like to say over the alligator pit or something, and there's going to be things that are kind of good and bad. And there sometimes is a little bit of course correction, but it's never a sign from spirit, or it's never our intuition telling us what we did is not, is wrong. And like, this is not for you. Don't go in that direction. We're always going to get that. So a lot of people say, oh, that's my sign. I'm not going to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not the...
And they give it up.
Yeah.
They give it up
immediately. And they give it up. And it was a step. You're going to get that every step of the way. And, what it is as you start to master your path and how you're traversing along it, you start to really see that you know you're going in the right direction. I know you know that.
Oh yeah.
You know. So for listeners, that I think that might be helpful for them.
I have a question. What is the difference between ego and intuition? Is there a quote unquote simple way to know the difference?
You know, the simplest way is our intuition does not speak to us ever through fear. Ever, ever, ever. Our ego often speaks to us through fear. Like, oh my God, I shouldn't have, I shouldn't have gone in this direction, or I shouldn't have tried to, you know, become more than I am, or whatever, you know, like, if it's coming from your intuition, it is not based in fear. It is not telling you to cancel whatever it is you were doing, you wanted to do, or were starting to do.
Okay. That's good. Thank you. I was wondering about when my intuition tells me to go, when I'm driving, to not take a certain road or to choose a different road, and sometimes you know that has saved me from some form of danger.
Yes. Yeah.
But you're right. It doesn't come across as fear.
No,
it comes across
it doesn't
as
go, danger, Jan. Don't turn
yeah,
off.
Right.
It more goes, Jan, look at over here on the right. That's an amazing spot, and it feels like good energy. And I almost say it's like there's a spotlight shining on it, so you go that way. But it's a positive.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It's a positive, you know, as far as our intuition goes. And our intuition doesn't, you know, I've heard people tell me, you know, things that their intuition have told them that are so clearly not really from their intuition, you know. And the more you are in touch with it, you know, all of the listeners, the more they will start to really, you can pick it out like really easily after a while. But again, it's something you got to start practicing and doing and walking through some of those times that where you think it's your intuition, but your ego is trying to keep you safe or small or, you know, it's kind of like if you think about when you're a child, oftentimes you have someone somewhere along the lines going, who do you think you are? You know, like, who are you to be, you know, insert whatever word it is that you're wanting. Well, we still can go back to those thoughts and memories, but our intuition never says that. Our intuition knows we can be whatever it is that we want to be. And it helps, keeps giving us signals and tips. It's not so much, you know, it's more about where to go and what to do, not what to get away from.
Mm-hmm. So when you're feeling really good, a thought comes and it feels really good, then you can credit that to intuition. And when you get that sick to your stomach feeling, you can be pretty sure that that's ego.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think we're all
some people
familiar
call
with
it their gut feeling. You know, it's a bit of a fine line. I mean, it's not something we can necessarily get everyone perfect at doing in the course of our you know, 1 hour talk. But that is a good feeling. Like if you say you decide you want to explore a new field of learning and you sign up for this new program and you are so excited. And then all of a sudden, the next day or the next week or whatever, or the next month, you're like, holy crap, what did I do? Most of the time, that is going to be your ego going, you know what, just stay where you are. You're good enough where you're at. You don't need this other stuff to deal
with. That fear to keep you from taking the next step.
Yeah, or what might have happened is in that course, training, whatever, program, something may have triggered you in some way, shape, or form to step forth in a way that your ego is just not comfortable. That our ego is just to keep us safe. I mean, it's to keep us sort of in a range of safety. But sometimes, every time if we're specifically wanting to grow, you know, if you're happy where you are and you want to stay where you're at forever and not really make any changes, then it's good to stay connected to your ego because you'll be sure never to have any changes happening. You'll kind of continue on the way it is. You know, your prosperity and abundance will continue on the same way it is. your income level, your relationship, you know, the nature. It doesn't mean you'll be in the same relationships, but you'll have the same nature of relationships. And your self-mastery will continue along at the same level.
Hmm. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So
yeah.
Is there an easy or clear and direct path that women can take to living in abundance and prosperity and manifesting money?
I truly believe there is. You know, I will just share briefly that when I was younger and I went to college and I came out of college and I got a job, and it was an okay job. It was, you know, for the time, it was pretty good money. But then I realized that I really had this yearning to be self-employed, because I knew that I had a deeper desire to move. I wasn't happy just to stay living the way I was living. I just had a deeper desire, and it wasn't so much about the money. And when we get into the secrets in a minute, I will tell you about how it's more about who I would have to be to move into that place. I wasn't happy to be an employee sitting in a cubicle doing what people requested of me. You know, just because really all I was doing was helping somebody fulfill their goals and their mission, which was great, but that's not what I wanted for me. It's great for people who want to do that, but I knew there was something else for me. So I ended up getting into real estate. And, you know, when I got into real estate, I soon realized that you have to have a lot of confidence, you have to have a lot of belief and trust in yourself, and you really have to start stepping up. And and I managed to have that happen. And it was more about who I grew into than the fact that I was, you know, obviously we all need income for, you know, survival and eating and all the kinds of things that humans do. And, you know, taking my dog to the vet and whatever. And then I ended up leaving my real estate career because I realized that even though I was very successful at it, it wasn't who I wanted to be. Because it was really about who you become to be into these different goals. And so I ended up going into another career and another one and another one. And I realized that each time you sort of switch directions, there's an amount of, definitely an amount of self-mastery, definitely an amount of stepping up, and truly just really being conscious of all the parts that have to kind of come together. You know, I work from home in my house. I have beautiful views. I have I'm in the sun. I have a nice sunny view outside, and I have the kind of life that I want to have. And you know, it would be easy, this is an example that I want to share. Is oftentimes people will say, how are you doing? How's your business? And I'll always say, I'm really busy, or it's really good. And sometimes I'll hear people say, that's really good. Or when times were even a little tougher a few years ago, people go, wow, you're busy? And they would kind of have this incredulous, you know, tone to their voice, like, how could you be busy? Because, you know, especially when I was doing mainly animal intuitive work and intuitive work also with people, I mean, in a recession, you would think, who would be doing that, you know? But actually, mm-hmm. What's interesting is that whole genre of careers got busier in that time, because what that whole, you know, recession shift, everything that's been going on was really about was people stepping into their power and to who they truly are. And people needed that. And you know, the other thing is that I create every single thing that happens. I start with a blank slate, you know, pretty much every day. I mean, certainly I have a big body of work behind me, but every single thing that I create is brand new. It's something I have to, you know, it's like going and making a sculpture, but I'm doing it with coming up with ideas of things that people would like. And it's so So part of it is that the energies have really moved into this global shift in consciousness, have really been conspiring to move everything into a really amazing place for people to step into their mission and to be very successful doing it. And the manifesting has really increased, almost to, instantaneous. And we can create. It's a creation. It's a creative energy. It's that divine feminine energy of creation that is what manifesting is all about.
Okay, I'm processing that.
I'm giving you so much. Maybe I should.
Yes, yes, you are.
Maybe I should say less.
No, it's just that I'm still processing. We do have a couple of callers, and I have a feeling that they might want to talk to you. Cindy was just checking with them, so I'm kind of waiting to hear what she has to say.
Okay.
But I want to get them in before we go into your five secrets.
Yes, absolutely.
So should we go? Yeah, they might. They might.
They might have more questions after, but certainly we're we can answer them now or whenever, whatever works.
Well, you talk about resistance and illusions and blockages and sabotages. Let's talk about that for a minute, that keep people from creating the prosperity that they want.
Right. So what happens is, just naturally in day-to-day life, all of us, from an energetic standpoint, everybody's energy, everything in this universe is energy. And all kinds of things can, events, things like accidents, good events, bad events, every single neutral events, every single thing that we come into contact with in our lives, and it's a lot, has a way of altering our energy field. That's why, for those of us who are very much wanting to be on a path, a specific path, we have to be very keen about what we allow to impact our energy field and what we don't. So what situations we put us in. I do not do drama. If someone's into drama, they're not in my life, because it's a waste of time, and it's ridiculous in my mind. But so I'm careful about that. But what happens is, I like to think of our energy fields as the circuit breakers as a house, let's say, and the imbalances that happen sometimes turn off the circuit breakers at the electrical panel. It's kind of a good analogy, because we are electrical beings anyhow. So, we have an electrical system within our energy field. So what happens is, something happens here, something happens there, something happens here, something happens there, and before you know it, our electrical panel of our energy field has a few circuits turned off. And I'm sure you all know that you can still live in your house with a few circuits turned off, but you may not have electricity to your refrigerator, so your food might be spoiling. And, you might not have, a hot water tank, so your showers might be cold. Or you could be sitting in your office and have no light. So it's still doable, but we're nowhere near as efficient, and it's not working as well for us. So we have all of these things. And to really be, in alignment, in integrity, to be able to be intentional about what we want, and to be able to be accountable and responsible for ourselves, we can't always do it as well when our circuits are turned off. So I really am a believer that it's really crucially important to have our circuits kind of back, all firing on all cylinders. Let's just say we're much more successful that way.
All right. Well, apparently our the people who have called are listening only, which is great.
Okay.
We're glad to have them here.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and move into the five secrets.
Okay, great. And I'll start. I'll just go kind of through them in order. I suppose that's probably the easiest way. So, secret number one is, and I've alluded to some of these things in some of what I've said. So, I'll be more brief. But your income is equal to your impact. So, really, if you want to have a larger impact on, you know, your close tribe that you work with, or your city, your state, your province, your country, the world, whatever it is, it's not going to happen if you want to step up into a big way without more impact. And it's something, like I mentioned, that so many conscious evolutionary women who really want to step up and shine their light and become the highest version of themselves fail to see. Like, I will be honest with you. Like, years ago, I used to think someday I'm going to have some big break and I'm going to get known and be famous and do what I want to do. But then I realized that's not how it works. You just create it yourself, and it happens. That way, you are the creator. You are the one who's taking responsibility. You're not hoping for some other outside force to come forth and do it for you. So the money that you make is in direct proportion to the people that you serve. So if you really want to serve a large number with your divine gifts and really get your gifts out there in a big way, if that's what your desire is all about, it goes without saying, of course, that you will be making a lot of money doing that. And you can think of some of the divine feminine leaders that you may know of that are really shining their lights. You know, they didn't get to their place of influence by staying small and contracted in their own little worlds. They took that, you know, bull by the horns, broom by the handle, and they learned how to literally take off and make it happen for themselves. So that's secret number one. And it's something that a lot of us don't think about often. Do you want me to just kind of go through them all, Jen?
That'd be a good idea. Okay. But I'm going to jump in here for a second. Yeah. I always say that people who teach the law of attraction often forget that action is a huge part of that word, attraction.
Yes. And there's a little quote called, "The law of attraction without action is an illusion."
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that. That word is right in there, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting. It takes more than just sitting on your duff and, you know, oming or thinking about what you want. It does take more than that, and anyone who tells you otherwise is not being truthful with you. And, you know, someone said to me a while back that every law of attraction coach they know is broke. And I thought,
oh, my gosh.
How interesting. Isn't that interesting? So, you know, it's not, there's a bit more to the, you know, a lot of what people think. And, you know, when you hear about the law of attraction, you know, way back when it really became popular, is that everybody wanted a way to create what it is they want. And everybody, you know, I truly believe everybody deserves to be the deliberate, everyone is the deliberate creator of their reality, not deserves to be, they are. And they deserve to be able to create whatever it is they want, but they are the only, they're the cog in the wheel. If it's not happening, it's only us. We are the only ones who can be stopping something. It's not externally happening, because it's always what do we have to be, do, or have to make this happen, you know? And that's good. I won't get on my soapbox about a lot of talk. I love that. Okay. Secret number, I could talk for like 10 hours, as I'm sure if my voice would last. Secret number two. You must, and I've talked about this, you must know what it is you truly desire with such great clarity. You know, so many women specifically, or even those men who might be more connected to the divine feminine energy, sometimes they play small and contract themselves and their energy so as not to step on anyone's toes. And sometimes it's like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to hurt the feelings of my friends who might be struggling. I don't want my spouse to, you know, to feel bad if I do really well. Men don't think that way. Like, the men who are connected truly connected to the masculine, they don't worry about what other people think as a rule. It's more of a divine feminine thing. And so when I say about us not being honest with ourselves, sometimes it's these kind of energies that are at play. It's not that I'm saying people are specifically lying. They haven't even explored the idea that they're actually playing small to, you know, fall into the expectations of their parents who, you know, who might have raised them in the 50s and 60s to, you know, to be supported by a man or whatever it is, you know. It's not like they're specifically lying. So who you are being when you are creating the awesome life you desire is what it's all about. It's who you become, because you become, it's the biggest self-growth, personal growth, spiritual growth, event of your life. You know, it truly is when you actually start to be who it is that creates what it is that you really desire. Mm. So that's that one. And you know, think about contraction versus expansion. And every listener can think of, where are you in your life? Are you in a place right now of amazing expansion, or are you in a place of tight contraction, and what would feel better for you?
Well, and don't you think people, let me ask. Don't you think that people need to also remember, but then I thought, well, this is an old psychology thing, so it's not necessarily true here in being divinely connected, but often expansion followed up by contraction, and I believe that's what you were talking about in the difference between intuition and ego. Intuition expands and gets all excited, and ego goes, oh, my God, that's too scary.
Yeah, what the heck
contracts.
Is she doing?
Yeah.
And I truly believe that with the energies that we're in right now, we're lucky to be alive now, because never has there been so many shifts and energetic things going on to conspire to help us to be all we want to be, you know. And I'm not suggesting if you don't want to change to change, but you know, the thing is, it's almost like in this energy you're going to change anyways. I'd rather be the one creating it than the victim of the change, however it happens. But I really believe that expansion is really what we're doing, and it's really how masterful we become, which is leading me into secret number three, which is about self-mastery is the key. How masterful we become, like I'll talk about it in this point, but how masterful we become determines how long that contraction kind of stays. So self-mastery is the key, secret number three. And it speaks to every single piece of information that I've imparted in this call. And, you know, you could be someone who, someone says something to me, and I'm giving you an example that I personally have worked on and really mastered or am mastering. I don't know if you ever get to the end of it all, but you certainly change it. Someone could send a nasty email to me, which when you deal with as many people as we do, not every single person in the world is going to be happy, you know, and it's not our job to make them happy. But we have a large following, and I have a large following, and my assistant deals with them more than I do. But when we, you know, sometimes someone's just in a cranky mood. I once sent out a happy Thanksgiving greeting, and it had a basket of Thanksgiving bounty on the as an image, and somebody sent me it felt like a 5-page diatribe on how could I wish people happy Thanksgiving because turkeys were being killed. And I mean, it was someone who was over the edge, because with reading the words, and when they hadn't heard back from me in 24 hours, wrote another rude email saying that I hadn't had the respect to answer, and you know, she spent all this time writing this letter. I mean, we had to actually block her emails. It was so bad. Like,
wow.
That's just one little example, okay? So
yeah.
When something like that happens, years ago, I would have taken that as, oh, my God, I shouldn't have done that, you know? And, you know, and I would have let it take me out for a little while. And, you know, then I, you know, and that's kind of an extreme example, but it doesn't happen that often, thank goodness. She might have been, hopefully she was writing from an institution or something. Hopefully she was getting good care. But the thing is, you know, what happens is, or someone could say something to you, like they think you're being pushy, or they think you're being greedy, or they think you're being disrespectful, or whatever it is, and you know within your own heart what your intentions are behind your all of your actions and all of your, you know, everything you put out. And if you know they're like they're loving, they're for good, and someone sort of, you know, rains on your parade, so to speak, or really puts you down, you can either choose to allow that to take you out, or you can just, you know, process it and go next. And so self-mastery is about allowing the things that used to take us out, no matter what they are, and we all have them. Certain things take every single one of us out. Even the people who are the most masterful, they're just working at a different level than we are. The more masterful someone is, if someone's running a, you know, a $10 million a year business, that, you know, and I know people who are in the same boat as me, working from home, running $10 million businesses, so, you know, as individuals who have support staff, but nobody even works in the same, you know, necessarily even in the same city as them, that they're still working on self-mastery, but at a much, much higher level. It's like every time, it's almost like you keep stepping to a new level. You mm-hmm. know, we have our thoughts that we have to master. We have our beliefs, which are, or our paradigms, which are just basically ideas that we made true. You know, your beliefs would probably be different than mine, and mine would be different than everybody else's on the call. And they're ideas that we made true. That's kind of interesting when you think about that, because we think they're true. We truly think they're true, and almost every single belief out there could be, you know, could be either way, 50-50, you know,
right.
True or false. Then we've got our feelings and emotions to master. Then we've got our energetic frequency to master. Then we've got stretching outside our comfort zone to master, you know. And I mentioned that, you know, what we want is almost always outside of that place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've all heard, if we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we always got.
Right.
You know, I used to actually pretty much make the same amount of money every year. And I was self-employed. And even when I was kind of just relying on orders to come in or people to book me for, you know, sessions and different things like that, and it was uncanny. At the end of the year, almost everything was always the same. And how would that be? Like, it's not like the same people were booking me the next year as the last year, and it was all just left up to energetics, so, you know, or the attraction of, you know, people to my work. But what I noticed is, until I started really keying into the self-mastery and really looking at what I could do to change all these things, it just changed on a dime. And I believe that we can, you know, for those who want to, I believe we can double, triple our income in a year. It is not that hard, but it has to there has to be a specific system to do that. You know, personally, I needed a mentor, and sometimes we do. It's not that easy. Sometimes we need help.
Yeah.
And, you know, mastering our intuition is a big part of that whole personal mastery.
Okay, so let's recap the steps.
Okay.
You know, just the names of them.
Yes. Okay, so secret one, income equals impact. Secret number two, you must know what it is you truly desire with clarity. Clarity, clarity, clarity. Think of I always say this to my clients. Think of a plane landing on the runway. You want to know what you desire as much as that pilot knows which runway he's landing on and that he's landing on a runway. You know, you can't be wishy-washy. You got to commit to something. You know, if the plane's committed to landing on a runway in Houston and something happens to derail them somewhere along, they might get rerouted to Atlanta or whatever, but you deal with that when that happens. But in the meantime, he's got his, you know, whatever they use, GPS, whatever they call it on a plane, set for that runway in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be like that.
And okay.
And then step three, secret three is self-mastery is the key.
Okay.
So now we're on to secret four. Do you want me to go ahead?
Yes, please.
Okay, so secret number four is there are 8 channels of alignment that must be open within us for manifesting. So I truly believe, and this is something that I have kind of worked with, that it's like a foundation or a framework for manifesting prosperity, manifesting money, whatever you want to call it. So the channels of alignment that must be open are, and I'll talk about them briefly because I could talk for 2 hours just about this particular topic, and I do teach it in much more detail and how to make it happen in my training program. But the channels are spirit, mindset, sense of identity, belief systems, divine decisions, vision and clarity, inspired action, and environment and support. So each of these areas is very, very key. And there is, you know, I help people with a system to coach themselves through these. And it's a system I use myself because, like I said, we all have things come up. And self-mastery is more like a process, not a destination. You know, you don't get there. It's sort of like spiritual growth. It's the same thing. You know, there's always somewhere more to improve, to grow, to learn. So it's how we relate to these different areas, and it's really important. Once people really become familiar with all of these channels and master the alignment with them, that they get to experience that sweet spot or alchemy where I kind of mentioned where heaven meets earth or the physical meets the invisible realm, because there is some magic involved in all of this. Certainly there's a lot of actions on the physical plane, and then there's a lot of actions on all the other levels of consciousness, but it's kind of a ball. And I think where the law of attraction fails, you know, where the way some people think of the law of attraction, where it fails, I believe, is it's just in maybe the upper chakras, you know. It doesn't even get down below the heart even, you know. And the heart is the place where spirit and matter meet, or where spirit and where physical and spiritual meet, you know. And if you don't bring it through your whole system, it's physically impossible to have it happen. You know, it just isn't, it's just not something that tends to be successful. And I have a friend who would argue that with me, but she hasn't been successful at manifesting a lot of things in her life. So I truly believe that if you look at the real successful manifestors, you will find that they're engaged on all cylinders.
Lynn, can you repeat that? We've had a request for you to repeat the 8. Some people
got
up to 6,
and
but they didn't get 8.
I'll say it slower this time.
Okay.
And if they happen to go to that page that you looked at earlier, they are listed there as well, the page that I have. I don't know if you're sending people there or not. So the channels, the 8 channels of alignment are spirit, mindset, sense of identity, belief systems, divine decisions, vision and clarity, inspired action, and environment and support. So vision and clarity is one, and environment and support is another.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And you're talking about the Prosperity Alchemist website,
they're
right?
They're on the Money Manifesting Acceleration. I don't know if you have...
Oh, okay.
They're on that one, so...
I think I did send them the link to that, but we'll post it again.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good.
Okay, and so secret number 5?
Secret number 5 is you must have a manifestation system that works. And I have what I call a 7-step manifestation signature system, which I feel is very easy to follow, and it shows the exact steps you need to take and the order to do them in to be able to manifest money, prosperity, abundance, what really, truly, whatever it is that you want to manifest, because I know some people have different focuses for their manifestation. And the system I've used in the past to create massive breakthroughs in income while living my soul's divine mission. and doing what I kind of call my life's work, what I know that my soul came here to this planet to do. And it's allowed me to double my income. It's allowed me to break six figures with various businesses. And even at six figures, it's allowed me to increase my income again by over 50% in a year. So the system works, and you can actually use it to create your own money manifestation breakthroughs. So if you have a pen handy, I'm going to give you the steps.
Okay.
Again, I get into way more detail. You know, I spend, you know, 6 weeks going over all this material in very big detail, great detail. And I work privately with people who we, you know, spend a year going over this material because there's various levels that you can tap into it. And you have to be involved in it fairly deeply to really have, you know, have it really manifest quickly in your life. So step number one is tap into your passionate desires. Your goals, your deep desires, your conviction, how to know what your soul really wants. And you need to be very decisive and very honest in that regard. You know, you don't want to play small. You don't want to do something not to upset your mom or your dad or your husband or your sister or your friend. Step number two is to understand and use the universal laws and principles of manifestation. Your benefit, basically. Step number three is become the conscious creator of your experience. So being in alignment and having the right mindset. Step number four is taking inspired action. Step number five is evaluating your feedback, both consonant and dissonant. I mentioned about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Step number six is adjusting your path. That might require some removal of blocks, course correction, etc. And then step number seven is make the magic happen. Create it and celebrate it. Celebrating is one of the most important things in manifesting. Every little item you manifest, every little opportunity, every event, you know, it could be, you know, you go to the movies and your friend buys you your movie ticket, or it could be that, you know, someone got a free ticket to something and gives it to you. Whatever it is, you have to be celebratory of every single aspect of what you manage to manifest, because we really create a lot in our lives, and we have to be very, you know, very conscious of it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. You have given us a lot of information here today.
Yep, I tend to do that.
So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, I've just sent Cindy the link. So the people on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations can follow that link to your page.
Yes. Yes.
And So is there another way that you would like people to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. They can go to theprosperityalchemist.com.
Okay.
That's the Prosperity Alchemist. I know some of those words are a little big. .com. Do you spell check if you get it wrong? Because it is the correct URL. And you can go to that that URL, and there's a place to contact us. And just as a side note, we also have another site, animalenergy.com. So you can also contact us. All of the emails come through Janet. She handles most of them, and if there's something that she needs to check in with me about, she will. Basically, she knows how to. Oh, and we're also on Facebook. So you can go to either of those on Facebook.
Okay, great. Well, Lynn, thank you very much. Is there something that I forgot that you'd like to add in here?
You know, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I think we kind of, I gave a lot of information. You know,
you sure
I'd love
did.
If any listeners are interested in finding out how to do more with us, they can certainly, you can certainly go through that link that Jan is sending or posting or however you do it. And, you know, I have a money manifestation acceleration program, which is, you know, relatively new and getting rave reviews. There is still opportunities to join in on that if anybody's interested, and I believe that's the link you're sending them. So
yes,
we'd love to have you. I have had so much positive feedback from it that I think anybody who this resonates with would really enjoy it.
All right, great. So for our listeners who haven't yet, who would like this link and aren't yet part of our group, go to Facebook and then do a search for Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. It's a group. You can just request to join, and Cindy will add you in, or I will when we are done with the program and I get over there. And then you can join in the conversations that we have each week around the program of the week. So, and that link will be, and some of the other information will be on that page. And Lynn, we'd love to invite you to go over there and join in that conversation as well, if you have time. I know you said that you've got some moving things going on right about now.
Yeah, yeah. Would you be able to send me that link, Jen, by email, by any chance?
Certainly. Yes.
I didn't write it down. That's why. And and I do have to. I have to run to an appointment to get to sign some papers, but it's not that far away, and I could probably join in the conversation for a bit, anyways. Now, and I can always pop back in after my appointment.
All right. Super. Well, once again, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Jan, and it was a wonderful interview. So thank you,
well,
too.
Good, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it as much as I did. Okay.
It's always fun chatting with you.
Yes, that's true. That's true. All right. So for anybody of the other listeners, I'm going to let Lynn go so you can hang around and listen some more, Lynn, or go if you need to, or go over to the Facebook group, whichever you feel like doing.
I'll pop off now and go to the group if someone sends me the link. That'd be great.
Okay. I will do that in just a sec, okay?
Okay, great.
All
perfect.
Right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. So everybody who is still here, you can go to all right. I'm sorry. Cindy was writing something and I was looking at I can't walk and chew gum at the same time, so I have to be a little careful here on what I do. So go over to the Facebook group and join in. And right now, if you have a question that you'd like to call in or come in via Skype and ask, I've drawn 3 extra cards, and you are welcome to send a question for those cards. Cindy and I were talking just the other day in a conversation about businesses and thinking small. And remembering that we are not small. None of us are small. And it doesn't do us or anybody around us any good to be thinking small. So make sure that you look at what's going on within your life and look at what's going on yourself right now. And see, where is it you're playing small? Where are you making yourself less? Where are you incorporating lack and not enough and not good enough and not worthy and don't deserve? Where is that in your life? And that's part of what Lynn was talking about, to be able to eliminate those and start manifesting what you really do want. To remember that those things are ego, not intuition. That's the ego trying to keep you safe. And being safe means not taking any chances, not crossing the street without looking both ways, which is a good idea, but you know, you get the drift. Not we say to our kids, oh, don't jump down from there, you'll hurt yourself. Well, that's about like the ego does. They don't tell you specifics. The ego doesn't tell you specifics. It just says, oh, you might hurt yourself if you do this. So remember to trust your intuition, which is positive, which makes you feel good. And remember that ego operates on fear. And we can love our ego and send it all kinds of good energies and make our ego our ally so that it doesn't interfere as quickly or as much. we can then make it our friend and say, okay, you can help me to do this next step because I'm a little bit scared, so you can help me in creating this future and doing it in an appropriate way and doing it in a successful way. So we don't have any questions right now, so I'm going to go ahead and call this week to a close. Next week, we have Sally Reeves Conway, who's going to be talking about the art of feminine presence. So I hope you will join us. This is I'll put a link up pretty soon, but the Art of Feminine Presence is a national program, and she is one of the certified people to be doing this program now. So it's going to be really fun and interesting to talk with her. So until next Monday, and remember that next Monday, actually I think it's next Sunday, is Daylight Savings Time. So remember to set your clocks on Sunday so that you get to work on time on Monday, and you'll join us here again, same time, 12 o'clock Pacific Time, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. And then we go into 8 o'clock UK time and 9 o'clock Germany, and I can't even go beyond that because I don't know the other times. So in any case, I look forward to seeing you next week, and for this week, I wish you soul blessings.
I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.